welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sherrod here with you. Now, fishermen and environmentalists are up in arms over Penang's plans to expand its land area through a massive reclamation project. The Penang South Reclamation Development, or PSR, had been in the works since 2015, but approval was delayed by concerns over the environmental impact. Now, in July, Penang's Chief Minister Chow Kon Yao announced that the federal government had given the green light to the PSR project, which will involve the building of 3 artificial islands off Penang's southern coast. Now, this will create some 1,800 hectares of land to be sold to the Penang to fund the Penang Transport Master Plan. So we have joining us on the line Khoo Salma Nasution, the Vice President of Penang Heritage Trust. Salma, thanks so much for joining us today. Now, I'd like to get your help to help us understand the opposition to this project. Where exactly is it stemming from?
On the one hand, you have the civil society and residents of Penang who are very concerned about environmental disruption that's going to be caused by the Penang South Reclamation. And then, of course, you have the fishermen who are actually fighting for their own survival because their livelihood actually depends on the fish that comes from the sea. It's live catch from the sea. So I think this year we somehow got together and then we said, actually, we're fighting the same thing, so we should come together and stand together in solidarity.
Salma, a question of who are stakeholders in the story, right? We do see the fishermen, and I think their plight is often highlighted by the media. But what about the projection of this project as being something about the future? It's about the islands will take 15 to 20 years to build, the development and associated economies are projected into the future of some 50 years. So are the stakeholders also the future generations, the children of fishermen, who might want work in the modern economy that is promised by this project?
I think let's look at Penang not as an island, but as a state. Because there are a lot of people in Seberang Parai who have been waiting for development for a long time. And they say that actually the Penang state government has totally forgotten about them, even though the chief minister said in his Vision 2030 that the future of Penang is in Seberang Parai. But actually, all the investment that he's trying to attract and is going to be for Penang Island. So the residents of Seberang Parai have a big stake in Penang.
Right. So you're thinking about decentralizing the development of the island and into Penang mainland as well. I want to touch a little bit, Salma, on the environmental impact of this project. Now, have the environmental concerns been addressed? Because if I'm not mistaken, the second version of the environmental impact assessment had been approved by the Department of Environment with a list of 72 conditions that were not disclosed, but it has been approved. So do you feel that that is sufficient to address the environmental concerns?
Actually, the EIA was exhibited in May during the fasting month, and we also responded to it. And 2 weeks after the closing date of the public response, the EIA was approved. And actually, when you look at how the whole process of, you know, incorporating the public feedback, I believe the consultants actually only submitted the final report, and within 2 days, 2 working days, the EIA was approved. We find that very funny. And furthermore, the approval letter was signed by the Director General of the Department of Environment on his last working day. So we find the circumstances very funny. But actually, how the EIA gets approved is because in the study area, they have already narrowed the scope of the impact area. So they're only interviewing people within 5 kilometres of the impact area. Now, there's a lot of fishermen who may not live exactly there. And furthermore, 12 kilometres from the impact area or less than that, there is the most important fish farming industry in the whole country. This is in Sungai Udang. And they are also really scared that the reclamation will affect them. So that will also affect our national food security.
Soma, is part of the story really about a trust deficit between civil society, citizens and their government? Penang has other reclamation projects. I'm thinking of Tanjung 2 in particular, off Gurney Drive. That's been going for some time now. How do you view the approach of government doing that project? And does that have any bearing on how you view government today as it tries to push through this second project?
Actually, for the Sri Tanjung Pinang 2 in the north of Penang Island, the Penang Forum also, spent, many weeks compiling a report, and they submitted it. And within 2 weeks, it was also approved. And I believe by the EIA was done by the same consultants who also did Forest City. Now, the fishermen who have been gone through the experience of Sri Tanjung Pinang 2, who live in Tanjung Tokong, the whole north coast, and also in Subrang Prai, the northern part of Subrang Prai, they're very badly affected by Sri Tanjung Pinang 2 reclamation. They say that the fish catch that they had, which was, so many kilograms before, now is only 30% of what it used to be. So that's why the fishermen as a whole are really against this reclamation, because most of the waters around Penang in the north and also in the channel have already been polluted. And this is the last remaining area where they have still quite, rich fisheries. And they really want to take care of this because they already saw how the other fishermen in the north have been suffering. Right. And furthermore, I noticed that Dr. Atin says that in 2016 they did a social impact survey and they found that, the situation in the south wasn't too good. And that is because, if you remember, the second Penang Bridge was only completed in 2014. The fishermen said that when they did the footing for the second Penang Bridge, they dumped the tailings, west of Pulau Kendi, and they forgot about the monsoon because the monsoon blows everything back to shore. And when that happened, actually, 2016 was a bad year, 2015, and then the fisheries department thought about, sort of investing in artificial reefs. And they did that for a few years, and only now it is bearing results. That means the fisheries have been revived in the south. And now, when they start with the reclamation, the first thing they're going to do is scrape all the mudflats. That means within the first year of work, they're going to totally destroy the ecosystem. Can we accept that as Penang people, that we're not going to have fresh fish? Can the future generation accept that you have destroyed the whole ecosystem for them? And can the fishermen, whose very livelihood depends on it, how could they possibly accept that?
Salma, thank you so much for speaking with us. You mentioned Dr. Afif in your response. Now, we have him joining us on the line via Skype. Dr. Afif Baharudin, State Assemblyman for Seberang Jaya and Penang State Esco Councillor for Agriculture, Agro-based Industries and Rural Development, as well as Health, to give us the government's perspective and to respond to some of the claims made by Kusalma there. Dr. Afif, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Would you like to have a chance to respond to Salma's comments?
Thank you, Melissa and Kusalma, for the questions and some of the things that you have mentioned. I think first, we have to agree that the rationale behind this Penang South Reclamation project is due to the development and population growth and thanks to the job opportunities available in Penang Island. Our transport transportation infrastructure could not actually cope with the current and future demand. In fact, the key is ensuring Penang become more competitive among the foreign investors is for us to have the right infrastructure and things like good telecommunication backbone, computer local government support, and of course an integrated public transport system. And also, that's why we have proposed the Penang Transport Master Plan. The state government decided at that time that we open a proposal and tender from the private sector to not only quote the cost of the project, but also method in making a feasible financing model for this project. So that's how we come about with the South Bank Institute, where we find not only the able to fund the Penang Transport as a project, but at the same time as a catalyst for the economic growth, especially for the community south of Penang Island. As you know, I think Melissa, you are from Penang. And we have seen a lot of
development start coming up in Seberang Perai. And we have to prepare Penang not only for the 10 years that's coming, but we are preparing Penang for the next 20 and 30 years. Seberang Perai, if I live in Seberang Perai, the amount of investment from private sector, investment by the government to improve the infrastructure, especially from the state government, is as equal as what we are doing in on the Penang Island itself. But we cannot deny the fact the southern part of Penang Island itself does require a development. And with the current infrastructure that we have, for example, the Penang Airport and the free industrial zone area, that we a free trade zone area in the in Bayan Lepas, we know for sure that it's already been congested and there's no vacancy at all. So that's the reason of expanding this to a new island on the south side of the Penang Island is the main reason why we will be able to say that this project will be the catalyst for economic growth in Penang.
Dr. Hafiz, so if I could just interrupt you here, because we understand some of the economic rationale for the project, but in a time when the entire planet is talking about our environmental crisis, the question of trade-offs is a tricky one. You're saying we should trade our pristine environments where fisheries are got and you know and so on and so forth for you know a presumed benefit in terms of jobs in the future. But can that logic hold today when the country, not just the country but the planet, is suffering from an environmental crisis?
I would say I think if you look back at the history of Penang, even most of the heritage site, some of it are actually on the reclaimed land that was reclaimed before by the British. And that's how the Penang state has been progressing years and years. And I wouldn't say that there is no environmental impact at all on this new proposed island. But that's why we actually came out with a very lengthy and elaborated mitigation plans in order to be able for not only the population, but definitely the environment itself, the ecosystem itself, will be able to handle the impact of this project as minimal as possible. Mm-hmm. And we have already identified one of the reasons why our EIA will approve. And I wouldn't say it's being rushed. It's actually being a very long process, elaborated and also being deliberated so many times. And there's at no one point NGO as Penang Forum has been able to be given the opportunity to actually come out and present their case in Majlis Perancangan Fizikal Negara,
right,
which is an honour for them.
Dr. Afif,
to be able to do that. Let me finish first.
We're almost running out of time.
Based on what we've discovered from the EIA, the fishing activities doesn't occur on that majority of the fishing activities doesn't occur on the main site of the reclamation project.
Okay.
On the reclaim area.
Okay.
It happens outside of the reclaim area.
Right.
So what is the main concern? The main concern is whether we could be able to provide the same ecosystem or the same environment as possible to replicate whatever being lost on that particular reclaimed area. That is what the focus now.
Okay.
So we have discussed and looked not only on ecosystem. That's why the reason why state government has decided to form a task force on fishermen is not only to discuss on the issue of ex gratia, but what more important is that to be able to make sure that these generations and this population of fishermen will be able to continue their activities,
right.
One, or if they feel that they will be able to gain or move to a different profession, There is something that the state government has to come up with a program with.
So I hear you and the response that you've had for the fishermen, and that, you know, you're providing a compensation, and there has been a response for their concerns. Now, my question is, there's been two petitions out there with, you know, stating their concerns, 240,000 signatures. Does this represent the majority of Penangites' feelings towards this project? And how is the government responding to these, to the opposition this project has garnered so far outside of the fishermen stakeholders?
I mean, we have also the polling data from what studies that we have done before, and based on the respondents that we have, I think we have respondents, more than 4,000 plus respondents also before, that has who are actually the stakeholders of this particular project. I think the issue is here is not about addressing the polling numbers. The issue is here whether we have the visionary thinking of what the state of Penang should be in the next 20, 30 years. Because as you can see now, I mean, relatively, I'm from the younger generation in Penang. And I could see even those who are younger than me, there is a significant sign that they are emigrating outside from Penang and the northern region to the central region of Malaysia to find better job opportunities. And this is proven by the statistic by the North Corridor Implementation Authority, where they showed that immigration is high in the northern region and also in Penang, and more people are moving out from Penang, especially the younger generation, because when they want to build a better life and also to have a better job opportunities, they actually migrate to Kuala Lumpur or to Singapore. So I think what we need is that, if we be able to maintain the vibrancy of the economic activities in Penang by doing this project, I think it's worth, in the sense that for the long term of the sustainability growth, the sustainable growth of the state of Penang.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Afif, and sharing your insights. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me, Sharad Kutan. We will be back tomorrow at 10 p.m. with another edition of Consider This, only on Astro Awani. Good evening.